Welcome to the Introvertpreneur Podcast. Take a breath because you are in the right place and you can finally stop apologizing for being an introvert. I'm Tara and I've discovered how to thrive as an entrepreneur while being 100% true to myself. Now I want to help you do the same. In these episodes, you're going to find everything you need to build a successful service-based business so you can stop competing with extroverts and grow and market your business with ease. Are you ready? Welcome back to another episode of the Introvertpreneur Podcast. We are joined today by Jennifer DeWitt, and she is a website copywriter and storytelling expert who supports female founders around the globe to craft value-centric, story-driven content. Jennifer is a former librarian, which I love that. That I wish I could have been a librarian in a former life. And she believes in the power of words, research, and storytelling. And now she's on a mission to help more business owners expand their impact by harnessing these tools. And I love that she's here to help you sell without ever sounding salesy. I know being too salesy is something that comes up a lot for introverts. So I am so excited you are here and to chat with you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yay. So I would love to hear a little bit more about your story and kind of how you fell into like being a website copywriter and the storytelling aspect of it.
Yeah. So I've always been very drawn to stories, whether it's reading or writing, like ever since I was a little kid. I was always the one who you'd find like buried in a book in the corner, not talking to people in true introvert fashion.
I can relate.
So I went into initially was a teacher and then a school librarian. And I love working with kids. I loved telling stories. I loved being around books all the time. And I just thought like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. When I became a mom, I quickly realized both being in education and my husband being in education seems like that would be the perfect schedule. We all be there together. But it became really apparent that like in order for one of us to be at, you know, my son's meet the teacher day or chaperoning his field trips or doing all these things that you want to be plugged in as a parent is almost impossible to do if both you and your partner are also on a school schedule. And like, I couldn't go meet his teacher because I was meeting parents of, you know, my kids that I was working with in the library. So I started to explore other ways that I could work and kind of set my own schedule and discovered the online space. I was like the explorer that discovered the online world. That's a terrible way to put it. But I discovered opportunities in working in the online space. And I started out as a virtual assistant and did that for a year or so, but very quickly realized the part that I loved about supporting my clients was writing. And that's what I naturally had always loved anyways. And so started to learn more about copywriting and supported my clients in different forms of copywriting. Like I've kind of done it all with between social media and blogs and emails and websites and sales pages, and just really fell in love with creating websites for my clients and creating that copy and it kind of being the foundation of their story and how they connect with people. And like I said, I love stories. I love storytelling. And anytime I can help business owners tell their brand story and then just other stories to help them connect with people is just like my happy place.
I love that so much. I feel like when I was younger, I wanted to be a writer. I wanted to be a journalist. Mm-hmm. So I've always loved writing. And like, I think for introverts, especially like using your words in that way to connect with your audience, like that is a huge superpower. And I think sometimes it's a little hard for us too, because a lot of times I hear like, oh, I don't know what to share, or I'm scared to share too much of myself or too mm-hmm. many stories. Like, what would your advice be for an introvert who is maybe like struggling to because I know a few in my audience who are like, I don't want to share anything about myself. I don't want to be personal. I don't want to be the face of the brand. And I think that's a little bit of fear-based because we're scared. Like you put yourself out there, you feel like you're going to be judged. So yeah, what are some thoughts around those introverts who are maybe struggling with talking about themselves at all in storytelling?
Yeah, and I hear that a lot too. I work with a lot of introverted business owners, and I work with very service-driven business owners, whether they are a service provider or a coach or something else, but they are absolutely in their business to help other people. And that's how they view it. Like it's not about them. It is about who they are serving and how they can help them. And so I definitely hear that a lot. And I understand the fear of putting yourself out there and being very vulnerable with your story. And my suggestion always for like dipping your toe in with telling stories is you don't have to get too personal too fast. Like you don't have to tell about the time that you lost someone that you loved or that you, all kinds of like deeply vulnerable things that you would maybe only share with people who you're close to in your life. I think about telling like these little micro stories from your day. Like there are lessons that can be learned by your audience from like you going to Starbucks. There is some interaction or some little micro story there, something that happens that's not like deeply revealing a bunch of stuff about your life, but lets people get just a little bit of a window into your personality. And you can teach through those little like micro stories and moments. You can also tell stories of transformations that your clients have experienced. I do always say that with like kind of a caveat of if you are telling someone else's story, make sure you have their permission to tell it or make it more vague, like so that especially if you're a coach or someone who does work with people on that very personal level, make sure that it is okay with that person for you to tell that story. But the story doesn't have to just be about you. You could talk about, you know, like some episode of television or a movie that you saw and something that you learned from the story that you saw there or that you read in a book. Like it doesn't have to be deeply personal about your life and your family.
I hear so many times, and I've been guilty of this in the past too, of thinking like, oh, my life is just so boring. But
same.
Once I realized like what I consider boring is actually relatable, mm-hmm. like other people can relate to that because it's not like extravagant or luxurious. Like we think we have to have these shiny photos and like extravagant stories. But I know when I get those emails or see content like that, I'm like, I can't really like, that's inspiring, but it's not really relatable at all to me. So,
right. Yeah, absolutely.
One of my best emails that you just made me think of was, I forget how I turned the email into business content, but basically the start of it was talking about my favorite spaghetti sauce and how they mm-hmm. discontinued it. And I got so many replies to that email where people were like, oh, you should try this sauce, or, oh, that's so frustrating, or what sauce are you talking about? I'm like,
yeah,
you would think that that's pretty like boring. That's not something that's like newsworthy, but it was what was going on in my mind that day. I was like, I haven't spaghetti used to be like a weekly meal. And since they discontinued my sauce, I can't find one that's comparable that I love just as much.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny that you say that too. One of the emails that I got the biggest response from to my list was, we have a smart refrigerator, which I think is a little ridiculous, but my husband loved it. And I was like, whatever, we can have a smart refrigerator. So it has, you know, like the screen on the front or whatever. And every so often it scans, quote unquote, the inside of your fridge and then gives you like suggestions like, oh, you must be running low on milk or this or whatever. And sometimes the suggestions are actually true. And sometimes it's like, I don't even know what you thought you were scanning or that you saw. And I kept getting a suggestion that I needed more baby food. I'm not sure what in my fridge it thought was baby food, but my son is 14 and a half. I haven't had baby food in well past a decade. Like there's not been baby food since we've had this fridge. And it was just really funny. And I turned it into, you know, utilizing smart technology and AI and all of these things as a tool for how you are creating, but you can't fully rely on it. Like, we're still talking about a robot doing something, not a human doing something. Mm-hmm. So, and I got such a funny response from that email and people talking about, oh, I got the funniest suggestion from my Alexa or from Siri or from whatever it was. Like, everyone had a funny AI story that they wanted to share because that's relatable. Like, that's something that's a part of our lives.
That is hilarious. I didn't even, and I will just say right now, like, I feel like I'm so behind, but I didn't even know that smart refrigerators existed.
I mean, it's a little ridiculous, honestly. I was like, I just care that it like keeps stuff cold and makes a lot of ice because I'm constantly like drinking tons of ice water. I don't care other than that. But yeah, it's so funny. And it doesn't do that much, but it does have like the screen on the front where you can make your grocery list. That's the part of it that I like is when I notice something's out, I can add it to the list like right there.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool. But the scanning features and stuff,
but it's not perfect,
right? Is not very helpful.
That's hilarious. Yeah. See, like and that's relatable. That's funny. That's like real life humor. And
yeah, but it doesn't give people like deep insight into my life. Like, it's a fun, like with the spaghetti sauce, like you're not being super vulnerable and deep if that's something that you're not comfortable with or not talking. I know a lot of people who are very uncomfortable talking about their kids as a part of their business and their life. And I totally get that as someone who has a child who's now old enough to like have his own social media and be doing those sort of things. I feel like I have to be very respectful of his privacy and his choice. Like, I would never tell a story about him to my audience that I hadn't checked with him that it was okay that I shared. So like, I completely get that. And there's ways to tell your stories that aren't going to give people like information you're not comfortable sharing.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. My husband is the same way. He doesn't like me to share his stories. And I think I figured out why, because a few people at his work, I guess, are on my email list. So
oh, that's
they're
funny.
Like keeping tabs to see if I like share anything like major that's or a story about him. So
that's yeah, and so I'm funny.
Totally respectful of that. So usually I'll just like casually mention like, oh, my husband and I spent Christmas with his family or something, like, but nothing that would be like overly sensitive or like compromise his privacy. Yeah.
Yeah. Same. Yeah. I'll talk about like, oh, my husband and I tried this new restaurant and this is something that happened, or like we went to go see a movie or we did something. But yeah, if like he's struggling with something or something's going on, that's not something I'm going to share with my audience because it's not my place to share it. And it's also not necessary. Like, I can tell stories and I can connect with people without doing that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I want to talk about, okay, so I told you I saw this post on Instagram and I know I want to get into this. So you talked about three ways to focus on support in your copy instead of pain points. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a really good discussion. And I love how you put this because so often in terms of like copy and messaging, we hear like you want to use pain points. And I think like what you said about, you know, if you're values led and you want to support people and you love helping people, writing copy focusing on pain points can feel a little icky or hard to do, but we're told to do that so often. So
yeah. Yeah. And I think like, so there's a difference in understanding where your audience and where your people are coming from. Like, you do recognize and understand like they are struggling, they are having a problem with something that is quote unquote a pain point. And you have to be aware of that and informed by that to know how you can support them. But I don't believe that our copy has to be focused on quote unquote agitating people's pain. Like, I really hate that phrase. And I don't know how many times I've heard it from marketers, like, and this is the point in the sales page where you want to agitate pain. And I'm like, ugh, that just sounds so gross to me. Because in like a normal conversation, you would never think about, And this is the point when you're talking to your friend that you really want to agitate their pain and make sure that they like know they're in pain. Like,
yeah,
people know they're in pain. So some of the ways that I prefer to think of things is rather than talking about their pain, like, because a lot of times you'll see like those if statements, if you are hearing crickets from your website, if your house is a total disaster area, if whatever it is, like those if statements are powerful to connect with people, but rather than focusing on the pain of it, focus on what's possible for them. So rather than like, if you're tired of hearing crickets from your website, it could be something like, if you are ready to have your calendar booked out through your website, or if rather than like talking about if your kids are making you crazy and, you know, make you want to pull your hair out, talking about like, what if you could connect with your family, or what if you felt like your home was organized in a way that like gave you peace at the end of the day, rather than talking about it being a disaster area. So showing them what's possible for them. I think you can also show like solidarity and camaraderie. Like, I get where you are. Like, if you want to acknowledge, like, I know you're going through this hard thing, you can follow that up with, and I get it. I've totally been there. You're not alone in this. Like, to kind of remove that, the feeling of shame that I think people have around a lot of their pain, that there's something wrong with them. Like, they're doing something wrong as a business owner, as a mom, as a wife, as a friend, as a person, because they have this pain. So it's removing that shame from it. And then it's showing them compassion too. Like, I mean, it's that old like golden rule of you want to treat people the way that you want to be treated. So it's thinking about if you're struggling with that, or when you were struggling with that, what would you have wanted someone to say to you? And a lot of that really, again, comes back to possibility. Like, we're not acknowledging that someone doesn't have problems. They do. But instead of focusing on the problem, let's focus on where they could be instead. Like, what would be on the other side of the service that you're providing them?
I love that. And I think a lot of, especially introverts who are like really wanting to use our words versus like video, for example, for the most part, I feel like we are heart-centered. We are like, we care, we want to support, we have compassion. And to be told like our copy has to agitate, that's,
yeah,
I think that's a lot of the time why we have such a hard time writing our own copy, is because we think we have to do it that way. And it just doesn't feel aligned. It doesn't feel good. And I actually just made a post on Facebook earlier today, and I got an email. It was like a pitch email from an agency. And it's very obviously ChatGPT created. Like, it was so funny. But I wanted to mention the last line, the call to action. So this is what it said. Time's ticking. Losers didn't click this link for a free discovery call. I'm like, that is the most awful, disturbing way to entice somebody to book a discovery call for a service.
Yes. Oh gosh, that's awful. That's so terrible. And really reemphasizes the point, like, even if you're using ChatGPT or other AI or technology to like help you create content, you still kind of need a human to go back and look at it before you just hit send or post or whatever it is. Maybe they did have a human look at it and that human thought that was okay. But yeah, that's bonkers. That's so crazy. And absolutely, like, and one of the reasons I feel like storytelling is such a powerful thing is because it helps us build those connections and trust with people in a way that doesn't feel gross and manipulative and like you're pressing in on their pain. Like, it shows that relatability and that, like, I get where you're coming from because this is what's happening to me, or this is what I saw happen, or things like that. So it's a way to connect with people and to ultimately still, you know, drive conversions and drive sales, because we are running businesses. We're not just, you know, trying to make friends online. Like, you do want to make sales from your website or from your posts or your emails or things like that. But stories are so much more memorable and relatable. And ultimately, that's going to lead to that, you know, trust factor and people feeling like, yeah, I feel good about investing in this person.
Yeah. And I kind of feel like, too, if you focus on copy and storytelling in that way, it's almost like, you know, you're going to get the right people buying or saying yes or working with you. Like, if you're forcing yourself to use copy that is kind of pressure, it may work. It may convert and pressure people into saying yes, but then it's not going to be a great experience for them. And in turn, probably not a great experience for you because, you know, they weren't the right fit for this, whatever it was that they said yes to.
Yeah, absolutely. And to build those lasting relationships with people too, like, you might have been able to pressure them into saying yes to whatever this offer is, but what kind of relationship is that setting up for them to say yes again down the road or to recommend you to someone else? And I think for introverts, one of the best ways we can grow our business is through those relationships and those recommendations. Like, some of the best clients and most wonderful people that I have worked with have come through referrals from other people. And I wouldn't have gotten to know those business owners if I hadn't developed good relationships with the people who referred them to me. And that, as an introvert, feels to me like a really wonderful way to grow your business because it doesn't involve you showing up on a reel or being on TikTok or doing these things that you're like, yeah, no, I'm not comfortable with that. That doesn't feel authentic to me. But it feels good to give someone really great service, to do a really good job for them, and for them to say, wow, you did amazing. Let me refer you to these other people.
Yeah, that is the best feeling because you know that, you know, you made that connection, you delivered the value, you created a great experience. Like, yeah, referrals are, and word of mouth is like the best, especially for introverts, because like you said, we don't have to go out and like post every like 5 times a day on Instagram. And
yeah, absolutely. And honestly, like, I try to view when I do show up on social media and things as that's like the relationship or the connection building that I'm having with people. I don't often expect to see like immediate conversions. Like, when someone finds me on Instagram, I feel like they're getting to know me and feeling me out before they make that conversion later. And it can be a little bit of a slower burn, I feel like, sometimes to sell with stories and to convert people in that way. There's this statistic that's like, we remember stories 22 times more, I think, than we remember facts alone. So like, when you are telling someone a story and you're connecting with them in that way, they're going to come back to you and remember you. And when you pop up in their feed again or pop into their inbox, they're going to be like, oh yeah, I remember that hilarious story she told about spaghetti sauce or about her refrigerator or whatever it is. And that's how they, like, you will be who they think of when they do need your services down the road.
Yeah. And that's such a powerful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a free resource that includes 100 storytelling prompts. So I'd love for you to talk a little bit about that, because that is amazing, especially if you struggle with telling stories or figuring out like how to incorporate a story into, you know, your messaging or emails or social media content.
Yeah. So it has a huge variety of prompts. So some of them can be a little more personal stories, but then other of them are like, you know, funny anecdotes from your childhood or from just things going on in your life. Or it could be, you know, prompts related to a book that you've read or the best piece of business advice that you've ever gotten. Or there's lots of different ways for people to get kind of plugged into telling stories. And you might not want to use all 100 prompts. There might be like 30 of them or 50 of them or whatever. They're like, yeah, I can tell a story about that. But it's just sort of a way to help get people's creativity flowing and to make them feel like, oh yeah, I don't have to be like the next great novelist to tell a story in my email or on a podcast or whatever it is. And of course, I think about them from the written storytelling perspective, but absolutely you could use these prompts to talk about, you know, if you were making a video or if you were doing like an Instagram live with someone, which I know like all the introverts listening are like, no, we're not doing that. But they are just ways for you to help talk about what's going on and connect it to other people. So I love this freebie. I think it's been so useful. I've had other copywriting freebies and stuff in the past, but this has definitely been the one that people really seem to love and be able to immediately turn around and use in their business. And you can find it at my website. It's jenniferdewittcopy.com. And if you go ahead and just hit /story, so jenniferdewittcopy.com/story, it'll take you straight to where you can enter your email and get that sent to you.
Awesome. Yeah, we will have that link in the show notes for you to go check out and grab that. But I feel like storytelling prompts, it's really great for, like you said, creativity, but also almost like shifting your mindset. Like I imagine like using these prompts, like if I had to sit down and write an email, you know, if I didn't have a prompt or I wasn't like making an effort to share more stories, and I would sit down and I would just write like a normal, like very stale salesy email and it wouldn't feel good at all. So I love that it's like, you know, even if you use like anytime you want to write an email or something, go open this, pick a prompt and use it that way. Like that would be awesome too.
Absolutely. And I try to post on my Instagram and stuff too. I will post like kind of some seasonal prompts and things. Not that your stories have to be seasonal, but like I got a really funny response from talking about like a last day of school story when it was close to the last day of school last year, or things in the fall or the winter. Or again, your stories don't have to be related to the time of year, but it can be like just a fun way to relate to and tie into your audience, and maybe things that they're doing right now or that they're watching or that they're reading or things that they're thinking about. So yeah, it's just, I use my own story prompts sometimes when I feel like I'm in a rut. I'm like, oh yeah, you do know how to do that. Go back and look at all of these ideas that you had before. So yeah, I think it's a great, like you said, just resource to have in your back pocket, because we all get to the point of brain freeze and not knowing what we want to say, and that writer's block sets in. And it's just that reminder. And like you said, the mindset shift of, oh yeah, I can do this. This isn't that hard. I definitely have things that have happened that I can talk about. And I think it's getting past that mindset block of my life is too boring. No one wants to hear about it. But like people do. People are interested in what's going on. And it doesn't have to be some massive epic tale. It can just be like kind of a funny anecdote.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the relatable content that is going to really connect and resonate with your audience. So I wanted to talk a little bit about going back to like website copy. And this is the case for me, and I think a lot of introverts, we overthink it, especially when it comes to our website. Like we want our website to like attract and like showcase who we are and what we do and connect with our audience. And sometimes I think we overthink it too much. We get in our heads too much. I find that like, if I was to look at somebody else's copy, I would like have so many ideas and like be able to really dig into it. But when it comes to my own, it's very hard for me to do it. So I think in a lot of cases, that's why I love that you like have a website copywriting package. I do think, you know, especially for your website, if you are struggling with writing it, or you feel like it doesn't accurately express who you are and how you help people, I think outsourcing it can be a very good idea to somebody like you who is a pro at this and an expert, just because it is really hard for us. And your website copy does do a lot of work for you. So it is really important.
Absolutely. And I tell people all the time, like if your website is not converting people for your business, it's not getting people to book a call with you or sign up for your program, then it's not doing enough of the work for you. Like, again, with introverts, like we don't want to constantly be going live on Instagram or posting things multiple times a day, trying to sell our services. And so you really want your website to be like your storefront. Like if you think about a brick and mortar business, you want that to be where people feel welcome coming in the door and like they understand what you're about and what you have to offer. And it's really hard with website copy because you want to have that intersection of copy that has your voice and reflects your story and showcases your values and how you want to sell. And you also want to be using words and phrases and things that your ideal clients and that your audience are using. So it takes a lot of research too, to really hone in on those words and phrases that people are using and figuring out how to mesh all of that together. I know with working on my own website copy, it is so much harder to write for myself than mm-hmm. it is to write for someone else. And I think it's because you have like, if you're coming into someone else's business, you have like this more bird's eye view of everything going on with them, as opposed to for yourself, like you're so up close and personal, and you might not be able to see what's really unique about what you're offering or how you're offering it. Like, again, you get in that mindset of, well, I do this because that's what I do. Or it's the same thing with like, my life isn't really that interesting. It's just my life. Like there's nothing super spectacular or special about it. And the truth is there is something special about your stories and about the way that you're offering services to people. And you just might not be able to see it because you're so close to it.
Yeah, exactly. You can't be objective when you're right. looking at your own copy and trying to like figure out how to, and you overthink everything. I know I do with my copy. But yeah, one example I can share about that is like, also is you may not be at the place where your ideal person is. So I have basically a beginner SEO mini course. Mm-hmm. And when I first wrote the sales page, it was so, because I've been doing SEO for like 17 years, mm-hmm. it was so like people would land on that page and they're like, there is so much jargon here. I don't even understand what she's saying, what this means. And so I was not putting myself in the frame of mind for who this beginner SEO course was. I was like, because I wasn't at the same place and it was hard to put myself back there because it was like so long ago.
Right. Well, and because you're the expert in your space at this point. Like if you're offering SEO training or website copy or design or whatever it is, you're an OBM and you've done all these certifications and courses and you have the experience, like it's hard to remove yourself from that expert mind frame. And I think that's one of the things that I brought over with me from education. It was so funny being a teacher, married to a teacher in the education system. There is so much jargon and so many acronyms and so many, all these things within education. And then you go to talk to like a parent of one of your students and they don't have the first idea what you're talking about when you start throwing out all of that jargon, because if you're not in it all the time, why would you know all of those terms or what that means? Like that's not where your frame of mind is. So yeah, that's absolutely, mm-hmm. it's a hard thing to do for people. And if you're writing something for your own sales page or your own social or whatever, I really encourage people to write it once, like do the bad first draft, just get it out of your brain and then go back and look at it later and try to pinpoint things like, what words am I using that I only use because I'm a copywriter or because I'm, you know, fill in the blank, whatever your expertise is? What would I not know if I wasn't in this position? And that can be hard to do for yourself, especially when it comes to your website where it's, you know, it's such a big piece of copy for your business and it's something that you hope will last for a long time. I mean, obviously, websites are continually evolving, you'll always make updates and things. But when you do like a big overhaul or when you do your website copy for the first time, you hope that it's going to last for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's such a good investment. Like, I love that you have the website copywriting package. And I was looking at it And the fact that you include the deep dive research into their voice, their audience, the brand questionnaire, like all of that is so essential. And I think sometimes we're too close to it and we don't think about all those pieces and we just like dig into the copy and just write what comes to mind and then tweak it over time. Like I'm a constant copy tweaker because I feel like it's never perfect. And that goes back to overthinking.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I really want people when they walk away with their website copy, I also want them to have that like messaging questionnaire that I have them fill out that really pushes you to deeply think about, okay, what is your client really struggling with? Like, what are they struggling with on a daily basis or a monthly basis? Or like, I kind of force you to think just a little deeper and a little deeper so that not only are you walking away with website copy, you're also walking away with this document that you can refer back to when you are writing your emails or your social post or whatever it is. Like you have that sort of North Star to come back to that gets your brain back in the mindset of what you're offering, who you're offering it to, and all of those things.
I love that so much. Yeah, it's so important. So if anyone is listening and is like, my website copy is horrible, I've been like overthinking it and tweaking it for months and it's still not, like, this is something that I definitely recommend investing in because, like you said, it's going to last a long time. You're going to get that like messaging and research to reuse over and over and over again. Like if you introduce a new offer, if you want to like add a new section to your website, like it's definitely well worth it in terms of like all the things that you could invest in as a business owner. Website copy, absolutely. Like I would say number one or two on the list for sure.
Yeah. Well, and I know like most business owners are not in a position to outsource all of their copy. Like if you think about all the words in your business, you probably aren't going to pay someone to write every single email and every single social post and, you know, all of these different things. But there are those like pillar pieces of content, your website, big sales pages for like your signature offer and things like that. That is something that's worth getting some help with. I mean, not that it's not worth getting help with those other things too, but if you're picking and choosing where you want to make that investment, I definitely think your website is worth investing in.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I mean, if you were to invest in like social media copy and then they like it's working and it leads people to the website and then it's like, ooh, it's not like converting, like you're going to just, it's not going to be worthwhile. So yeah, this I feel like is, like you said, the pillar and the ROI on the investment is so huge. Like it's not even really measurable because it's doing so much work for you.
Right. Exactly. If you think about the cost of bringing in one more client on a monthly retainer or having five more people sign up for your program or one more person sign up for your program, depending on what the, you know, the investment is on it, it definitely pays for itself over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, it's been so great to chat with you. And we're going to have all of your links in the show notes. So make sure you grab the 100 storytelling prompts to help you find stories in your everyday life. And if you're thinking about website copy, go check out Jennifer's website and reach out to her because I definitely recommend you as a copywriter. Like I love everything that you stand for, the way that you view copy in a less pain point, like agitation kind of way. And I know a lot of my listeners can resonate with that.
Well, thank you so much. This has been so great chatting with you today. And I'm so excited just to hear from your listeners and what they have going on. I'd love for you to follow me on Instagram. I am trying to be more consistent with the posting on Instagram. I'm sure that fellow introverts can resonate with that, but you can always send me a DM or message me there, or my email address is on my website too. I would love to connect and just learn more about your business and what you've got going on and your stories and all the things.
Awesome. Thank you so much. This is so great. I know so many people are going to love this episode. Yeah, it was so great to chat with you.
Yeah, thank you again.
Thank you so much for joining me today. This episode may have ended, but there are ways we can stay in touch until next time. You can join me at thetarotread.com, where you can find tons of blog posts and resources that will also help you grow your business. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram at introvertcoach, where I share more introvert-friendly and service-based business tips with you. If you love what you're hearing, drop a 5-star rating and review telling me what you are loving about the podcast so that I can continue to encourage as many introverted entrepreneurs as possible. Until next time, keep using your introvert superpowers.